I'm not on because I got to turn this on. Okay. So let's continue to pray to God that our elders can continue with good health and that they can continue the wonderful work that they're doing at this time. We're fortunate enough to have three elders here. We've got three distinct personalities that it appears they work well together. And I'm going to tell you what, as a preacher, it's just a joy working with them. So we ought to be grateful that we have elders. And when I say elders, we have men, not just with an idea of a title. We have men that are actually doing the work of elders, and that's very important. So that being said, we're going to quit talking about our three elders here, lest they get such big heads, we have to make bigger doors for them to go out this evening. That being said, we're going to talk about elders to begin with in 1 Peter chapter 5. And that takes us verses 1 through 4, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Now, if you look on the worksheet, we learn that which of the apostles is an elder? Peter. Peter is. It's the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder. So he's an elder likewise. Now, if you look in that box, and I'm assuming you did this before you came tonight, we have a number of different names given to the office of the eldership. And that is, of course, elders. We have this here in 1 Peter. You may have gone to Acts chapter 20 or Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, sometimes the word elder just means an older man. But in this context, it doesn't simply mean an older man. It means a position of authority in the church. They were elders of the church. They're also known as a bishop on some of the Bibles. You have bishop or presbytery. Talking about the same thing. Pastors. This is where the religious world gets mixed up because many of your denominational neighbors will identify the pastor as whom? The preacher. The preacher's not necessarily a pastor. Can a preacher be an elder or pastor? My conviction, yes, if he meets the qualification of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. But most of the young men I've dealt with who identify themselves that are pastors meet neither 1 Timothy 3 or Titus 1, but that's the title the denominational world has given to their preachers. Now, what's really hard is to try to teach someone when they hear that I preach, and I just cuss, I preach at the Lakeland Hills Church of Christ, they immediately want to call me pastor. And I tell them, no, I'm not a pastor. I just preach there. And it's hard for them to visualize that. So again, but that pastor is another name for an elder. And of course, on those other passages, they are overseers. Overseers of which church? The church which is among them. They are not over a series of churches. For instance, in Illinois, there were very few large congregations. When I left there, there were only two congregations that had elders. Now, just because you had those two with elders, they had no authority over the other congregations that were in the area because that would not be among them. They were elders over the congregation that they were a part of. And of course, we don't put men in the office of an elder by popularity. We don't put men in the office of an elder because maybe he's a good businessman. We put men in the position of an elder based upon what? Qualifications laid out in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. Now, Brother Blake in his book mentioned, and I think that's good, out of the over 20-some-odd qualifications, 17 of them apply to all Christians. Now, some of them that are specific to the elders are the husband of one wife, and we can go into other things like that, but we're not going into the qualification tonight because he's addressing the elders. So we saw that in verse 1. Let's read verses 2, 3, and 4. Verses 2, 3, and 4. Joe, you want to read those verses for me, please? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4.
Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in sound. shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Okay, that's it. Now, what we're going to do, which we should have done 5 minutes ago, Sherman's going to lead us in opening prayer, even though we've started class. So, Sherman, would you do that, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to come out this evening in the middle of the week to study and hear another portion of that word. Pray, Father, you bless the teachers in these classrooms. Help them to remember the thing they have prepared and present them in a way that will well please unto thee. And we as our students, especially here in the auditorium, Father, be able to receive that message and understand it, Father. And we will keep that message in our heart, Father. Because when we come to talking to elders, Father, it's very important that each and every one of us understand the position that those men have to deal with and they have to each and every day, Father. And that's not just on the first day of the week. Bless us, Father, as a congregation, as we go forward in this life. And please bless our sick and those that are less fortunate than we are, Father. And please forgive us for the things we've done, my prayer, to that word. This prayer I address in the Son of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, before we go into verse 2, one of the problems we have amongst the Lord's people is we have a shortage of elders in many areas. Why do you think that is? Qualifications are not being met. There's, I believe, one of the keys. Younger men have to prepare themselves to desire the office so that they meet the qualifications and they become an elder. Second of all, now, like I said, I work for over 30-some-odd years without elders, but when a congregation does have elders, especially elders who definitely meet the qualifications, the younger men growing up should see how these men are respected and the importance of their job. And I think sometimes we put more of a priority on the preacher than we do the elder. Shame on us, because that's really not how it is. The main cog, of course, the main cog is Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. But when we look at the positions of ranks of authority, under him you have elders, do you not? So again, I hope and pray that we will have a situation down the road that we have congregations where men are qualified in being elders. Because I tell you what, and we're not going to go and talk about all the adverse things, you don't want a man who's not qualified as an elder. Why is that? More trouble than more trouble than you can take care of. And that's so again, you don't want to rush and just say we need elders and put men who don't belong there. But we need to have men in there who belong there and who are going to do the work. And we talk about some of the work now in 1 Peter chapter 5 when we look at verse 2. In verse 2, they're to shepherd the flock of God and they're to be serving as? Okay, what does it mean, the idea of shepherd and overseeing? What comes to your mind when we think of their work? They're to shepherd, they're to oversee. What comes to your mind there? Okay, watching over how they're living. Also Titus 1, watching over that false teachers don't come in and destroy the flock and to help them live in harmony. Daryl, I think you had your hand up. Okay.
Spiritual food. It's the elders have the obligation to, as best they can, understand what the congregation needs in terms of growth, and they can't get that if we don't give them that information. If we're not giving them, hey, I think I need a class on this or a class on that, and so if we give them the information they need, they're able to feed us the way a shepherd leads his flock in. They look out for dangers. We know about David as a shepherd, that he killed both a wolf and a bear. Well, that's all in the spiritual terms. That's all the world trying to influence us and pull us away from God. And they're not responsible for whether we make the wrong decisions or not, but they are responsible for trying to help to guide us.
Okay. And as we look at this, okay, as not by compulsion. What does it mean, not by compulsion? Now, if you look at some of the other words, it doesn't say compulsion. If you look in that little box down, that pink type box, What does that mean, not by compulsion? Huh? Okay, no, that plus it's not, you're not being pressured into it. Huh? You do it willingly because it's a work. It's not a means of prestige in a congregation. It's a very hard work that they do. There's a lot of things that they do behind the scenes that we as a congregation do not know. And I say do behind the scenes. They're not doing anything unethical. They're doing things to maintain that the congregation is adhesive, co-adhesive one with another. And there's a lot of behind the scenes there. I mean, I tell that to younger preachers. I tell preachers the fun part's the preaching. I said, if you dread preaching, then you shouldn't preach. The fun part's the preaching. It's the behind the scenes things that you have to deal with. Now, I'm not the preacher's not the elder, but again, in both cases, it's the behind the scenes. You have a congregation that is at unity. The elders have been doing their work behind the scenes because they have to do. So it's not by compulsion, but willingly. They meet the qualifications and they're willing. Now, there might be some reasons a man might not be willing. We're not going to get into the details there. But if they're not willing, even though they perhaps meet all the qualifications, they're not qualified because they're not willing, because it's not by compulsion.
Not by constraint, but willingly. Yeah. So that, I think that's maybe a little better word there. I don't know.
Okay, constraint would be a word we would use more so than compulsion.
Yeah.
And that is kind of, they're not pushed into it.
Right.
In other words, well we need elders, and you would fit as an elder, and maybe for unknown reasons to the congregation, he doesn't feel ready. He doesn't feel qualified. He doesn't feel he could do good work. He doesn't have to give you an itemized detail as to why he's not ready. He needs to do, if he says no, then at that time, what is it? It's no. It's no. So again, I could give you stories of men who have become elders by compulsion. And I will say they did their work, but their heart wasn't in it. And that said, now I'm not talking about this congregation. I'm talking about knowing of other congregations. So again, they have to do so willingly. Also, as we talk about this, we have not being lords over those entrusted, right? What's that telling us? Do they have authority? You're not the king. There's only one king, and that's Jesus. Jesus died for the church. Now, they make sure we're following what Jesus teaches, but it's not do as I say, not do as I do. If you're going to say something, the elder should be doing it, right? They should be an example to the flock. So very important thing that they, and again, can we say that basically of all Christians, should we do the same thing? But when now we're talking about leadership positions. Now we talk about the flock, and as Daryl brought up about shepherding the flock, I don't know anything about shepherding animals. So, but what I read about, shepherds knew their sheep, knew their flock. A real simple little story. I held a meeting a number of years ago at a congregation in a different state, and not needful for you to know who or where. But it was interesting because one of the deacons picked me up from the airport and we were talking about the congregation and excited about the meeting. What I come to find out, and this said it was a fairly large congregation, the elders didn't even know some of the flock. What's wrong with that? How can you shepherd someone you don't know? Now again, I was there just for a week, so I didn't have to deal with that, but that's a problem. By the way, down the road, that congregation had more problems. I think that's one of the issues. I hope and pray this congregation someday we reach enough people that this building's plumb full. That's going to be a lot harder for the elders, but hey, they're up to the task. But the more people there are, the more what?
Problems.
Sometimes problems. The more people there are, the more responsibility. The more responsibility. Now, I don't know anything about the congregation at Temple Terrace other than we visited there a few times. It's a huge congregation. I think they have over 300-400 people, maybe more than that. I found out looking on the list they have 13 elders. That's a lot of elders, 13 or 14 elders. And I hope and I'm sure all these men qualify for being elders. But guess what? If you have over 400 people, you don't want to just have two elders. There's going to be a lot of work for two men because they have to work with these people. Now, when I say work with these people, I'm not saying they have to be busybodies in their lives, but they have to know what they need to feed them. They have to know what's going on. They have to know which direction the church is going. So again, I commend men who are qualified, as we have here, who do the work of being an elder. I'm going to give us a few passages in a moment. Go ahead, Joe.
I've always felt it very important, if there's a visitor coming to this congregation or any other congregation that I'm part of, we're going to meet the visitor before I speak to my friend or anybody else. But I've been to big congregations, me. Now, I speak to everybody, but I've only spoken to 250 people, and I was two people said hello. Well, you know, and I thought, well, okay, I can overlook this because I'm not going to be like that. But it happened again. Last year I visited a big congregation. Two or three people spoke to me, and they 150, 200 people there. I've met a lot of people. I just introduced myself a lot. Yeah. But the people that came up and said, you know, like, I don't want to talk to him. I don't know him.
Yeah.
That's the mindset and the attitude. If that's your mindset and attitude when you walk in the door, you probably want to stay home.
Well, we know Joe's never met a person he didn't have friendship with. He can talk to anybody. Not all of us have his qualities, but he is right. And it becomes harder in a bigger congregation because there, and I'm not justifying, Joe, that happens because but being a bigger congregation, people just get preoccupied with their own little group and they don't understand on the visitors, whether they're visiting for 1 week or they're visiting from the community, it doesn't matter. Of course, you don't want 200 people coming up to that person, scare them half to death. They'll run out of the building. But it is sad, and I think most of us have experienced going to a congregation. They didn't know whether you were in town or out of town, and nobody came and talked to you. I don't see that here. If that ever happens here, shame on us. Because not everyone, I'm not saying everyone in the congregation has to talk to someone, but if we see someone here who has not been here, make them feel welcome. And of course, the elders, the church goes as the leadership goes. True or false? The church follows the leadership. So again, very important thing on that. Now, as we look, I've got a few additional notes as we talk about the elders here. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, where this is not a study on the eldership, but we're talking about the elders here, that they need to oversee the church they're part of, they're to feed the flock. And we're going to read verses 7 and 17. Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. Jim, would you read that for us? Are you there? Yeah, so it's 7 and 17. Yes, sir.
Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you.
Now, verse 17 is the one I've highlighted in my Bible, because to me, that's one of the biggest tasks of the elder. They give an account of the souls of their flock. Now, they can't make the souls do right, but if they give an account that the soul is not doing right, it's going to be bad for you, not for them. But they have in their charge the souls of that congregation. That, my friend, is a big charge. That is something, and when we talk about the elders here, let's not forget to include the elder's wife? I know it's not in this passage, but is she important also? She's very important. So again, we have the measure, and you can see the God's wisdom in this. First of all, you can see the wisdom on the autonomy of the church, the elders which you are among. I mean, the church which is among you. So that means if the church 3 miles away, God forbid, goes astray, since it's autonomous, it's not going to cause us to go astray, or vice versa, correct? So you can see God's wisdom in that. And again, you can see God's wisdom in a plurality of elders, two or more. And of course, that's very important. So I was a part of many, many years ago, a congregation that lost the two. And when it comes down to one, guess what you don't have anymore? You don't have elders. We had a nice young man who was a deacon, I say young, older than me, who was a deacon, and we no longer had elders. And he came up to me one night, and he said, "Chuck, am I still a deacon?" I said, "No." I said, "Because the deacons are under whom? The elders. So if there's no elders, then what? There's no deacons." So it was very saddening to him. Now, that doesn't mean the work still shouldn't get done. Don't misunderstand me. But it gets done more efficiently when we follow God's ways. But they give an account. The three elders here give an account to every soul who's a member of this congregation. Now, they can't make you do what's right, but they give an account. Think about that. Another passage I want us to look at before we move on in this. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Again, while you're turning there, I am so thankful we have elders here. I can't express that enough. Good men who are doing their work. And 1 Thessalonians 5. Paula, let's get a woman speaking here. You want to read verses 12 and 13 for me, please? There's another passage perhaps we don't pay enough attention to. The elders are to know us, but vice versa, are we to know the elders? And what are we to do? We're to esteem them for their work. Not for, quote, a title they hold, but for their work, because they have an awesome work. And so, again, I can't emphasize enough. Now, I'm glad I can preach, but I'll tell you what. We need men who are elders, very important, men who are going to keep things in the straight and narrow. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have preachers, but a preacher is not, listen to me, a preacher is not a substitute for an elder. You don't find out, like I said, a preacher can be an elder, but he's not a substitute for an elder. Daryl?
You know, I can't tell you how many times that when I serve as an elder, somebody would come to me and we're having problems, whatever. We're having problems in our marriage. Okay, well, when did this start? 3 years ago. Okay, well, they've already made up their mind. They're getting a divorce. Why even come to the elders at that point? They're not. There's nothing at that point that you can do to really help them. You can tell them what God's word said. God's not happy with this. He expects you to try to work this out, but you're kind of limited.
Good
and
point.
Those are the things that make serving as an elder. All the little routine things that you see, that I'm not saying that it doesn't consume time and take effort, but the things that make it hard on serving as an elder is when the congregation won't come to you when they have problems, when you have a chance to help them.
Okay, that's a very good point. And I'm going to throw this out before I move on. Like elders' wives, where nothing is said, I know the elders would agree when I say this. I know they're happy for the men who are deacons here, who help in their role, because they take off some of the strain on some of these other areas. And we are grateful that we have men who perform that task. What I see here, and I've only been here a short time, I see the men, both the elders and the deacons and the elders' wives and the deacons' wives, I see people that are doing work. It's not just a title that was given to them. And that's very important. Does that make sense? So again, let's get to know our elders if we haven't already done so. I'm sure most of us have. Let's get to know our deacons. Let's appreciate the elders, their wives, the deacons, their wives, for all that they do. Yes, Gary. I've never heard of that. I'm not making fun of you. Well, first of all, I don't find that in the scriptures. I see the word elder used two ways in the scriptures. One, elder, the office of what we're talking about here. And secondly, elder, a person who's older in years. I don't see where there's elders for different, you know. Again, could I... like a congregation of 400. Now, I'm not sure where, you know, when you say that, what they're focusing on. Could, if a congregation is 400 or 500 people, could one of the elders be focusing upon the young people as far as that? Perhaps that might be the case. But I don't think there's an elder for the young people. There's an elder, he's an overseer of the congregation as they work together. That's my understanding. No. Daryl. Yes, amen.
But I don't know if it's necessarily wrong to say, okay, if you were a congregation and you had 8 deacons and 4 elders, I don't know that it's wrong to say, we want you 2 deacons coming to this elder with your issue so that then he can bring it to the eldership. And we can talk about instead of, you know, so you know who to contact with what name. And they, so it may make the elders' meetings and things like that flow more effectively with a big congregation if you've got, you know, not 8 different people that are talking. One source. So I don't know if it's necessarily wrong to divide out responsibilities as long as you understand that when the responsibility of finding out about these things is one thing, but you still you serve as an entire as an eldership.
Okay.
If anybody's saying I'm gonna make the decisions on the building and Leon's gonna make the decisions on this and you're gonna make the decisions on this, that definitely is not in the Bible.
No, the elders need to be unified in what their decision is going to be on that. You mentioned the building. I wish you wouldn't have brought that up, but that I was so grateful that the other time I worked with good elders, we built a church building. Praise God we had elders. The congregation was 140, so it wasn't a big congregation. We had 2 elders, and though their main concern is the spiritual well-being of the congregation, I think we would all agree with that, correct? That's their main concern. But decisions had to be made in the building of the new building. Thank goodness they had the final say-so. Because even something as simple as what color pews and carpet we're going to have. What do you think that does when 140 people are questioned about that? You get about 10 or 12 or 14 different answers. Guess who gets to make the final decision? The elders. And they made great decisions. The one decision they probably regretted, but they were fiscally responsible, so they didn't want to overdo the finance situation. Some of the people suggested the building should have been made a little bit bigger. And it was a beauty. At Spring Warrior in Perry, wonderful group of people. And initially, the elders said no because they didn't want to go into debt. They had saved enough money that they could pay off the new building without being in debt. Well, lo and behold, 2 years later, guess what they're doing? Adding to the building. And of course, some of the ones who, oh, sorry, we told you, you know, we but I'm glad they've made the decisions. They were a good group of people. So, and we have to understand this also. Elders are human beings just like you and I. So when it comes to doctrine, we want them to stick firm with the doctrine. End of story. But when it comes to decisions like that or other things, we might differ on those things. and they make the final say-so. And that's just the way it is. But yeah, so Gary, I wasn't trying to blow you off. I've never heard what you said before, so maybe. So, but I don't put any, all I can say, and I know nothing, don't know anything about Temple Terrace, but it blows my mind, a congregation of over 400 people. There's got to be a lot of work for the men that do that here, but over 400 people, there's got to be a lot of work involved in that behind the scenes as you're taking care of the souls of that many people. But that doesn't make them more important than us, because now the three elders here have to take care of the souls that are here, and praise God that they're able to do it and that they continue to have strength to do it. Anybody else on the elders, and then we'll move on. Oh. I didn't see you because I'm standing back here. But you're not even in class tonight. No. Yeah, go on.
When I was studying verse 2, back up to verse 2, the latter part of it where it says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And now I've heard this, and also if you go to 1 Timothy 5, it's
7.
About that elders can actually be paid for doing their job. I don't know how you feel about that.
Amen. I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't avoid that purposely, but I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go to the passage you mentioned, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Thank you very much. You got it? Go ahead and read that for us, please. Okay, now you see what he read. If you go into that little pink box or whatever color you call it, if you go to the NIV, the second 1 Peter 2 and 3, there it says, not greedy for money. And I think that's what he's not doing the office for money, but indeed an elder could be paid financially. And again, there'd be absolutely nothing wrong with that. And there could be a lot of circumstances that lead to that. Again, we could spend all night speculating on that. It could be a man who maybe does leave his full-time job to do the work. So again, he's taken a pay cut so the congregation supports him for that. That's a possibility. It could be a possibility that it was a man who never really had a good paying job in his life. And he's tight financially. But he's doing the work. He's not just holding a position. He's doing the work of an elder. But he's not doing the work of an elder so that he can get paid, but it wouldn't be wrong for the congregation to help support him. And we should have nothing negative towards that situation. Does anybody else want to comment on that? I've never known of an elder, though, and I've only met one elder who was paid, and I won't go into specifics of that, very good, godly man. But I've never known of someone wanting to become an elder so he could get financial gain. There's too many responsibilities that go along with that, that the responsibilities outweigh that fine. That's his reason. He's doing it for the wrong motive. And therefore, he's already disqualified because he's got the wrong motive.
I don't tell this story. Leon and I grew up at the same time. Our daddy was together. Well, he and Britt, the preacher. Now, Ed Britt had a business that was a dry cleaning business. He never took any money from the congregation and preached there for many years. I said that to say that's the closest I can think of. Now, because he didn't do it. He done it because he loved the Lord. But he refused to take wages because he supported himself, which was an unusual. Of course, this was a small congregation. Never was probably more than 50 or 60 people at the most. I don't give, and my memory don't think of any more than that. But there was three men and elders, and one of them was the preacher. Now, I've never known another congregation that had a preacher that was an elder.
Okay.
I have never seen one myself.
All right. Yes, and then we'll go on.
Yeah, we do have the example of Paul refusing to be paid, for these. So there's nothing wrong with that, but there's also, as we just talked about, wrong with it.
Okay.
Church and elders being supportive, we're told that we are supposed to support them.
Yeah.
But there are also trying to think of the times, the difference in the times when we lived. Back then they didn't have automobiles, they didn't have everything else. Think of the time, it's bad enough now, but you think of the time that would have consumed if you lived in a town and you had 70 members and everybody walked back and forth to church like they do down in Belize, just trying to get around to people. To see them and visit with them. I mean, literally, it's a half a day's walk to get out to somebody's house.
Yeah.
I know it's the same way in South Africa and stuff. You got all these little villages where literally people are walking miles to come together and worship. And so people that serve in elders and those things, it's a full-time job.
Yeah. And again, the thing is, can an elder receive monetary means? Yes, we have book, chapter, and verse. And we need to discuss it if it becomes a situation here as to the elders would discuss how that would be used appropriately. The last thing I want to talk about elders, or at least Peter wants to talk about elders, look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, now here we've talked about the work of elders and the awesome task. What do we find about them in verse 4? You're going to receive a crown of glory. So the where does the Lord place the elder in a very high position, where he belongs, in a very high position. Again, I know I sound like a broken record. Brethren, we need to be thankful we have overseers and that they're doing the work of the Lord. That's very, very important. Now, all of us are important. I'm not saying that you're not important. I'm not saying this other, but I'm just saying, I think sometimes congregations who've had elders for a lengthy period of time just become accustomed to it and don't appreciate what they have. And I'll tell you, as a preacher for over 40-some-odd years, working with elders and working without elders, whole different ballgame. And I'm talking about elders who are doing the work. Very important. Last thing, Gary, you get the last comment. I'm worried. I don't know what you're going to say here. It's hard. And you're in a congregation that don't have elders, aren't you? So then it goes, again, though it's not in the Bible per se, it goes to the men's business meeting. Decisions have to be made. The trouble is, in the men's business meeting, you've got the babe in Christ, you've got the mature Christian, and you've got the stubborn Christian. And you've got the dominant. And so you do have problems when it comes to that. Now, when it comes to doctrine, I think you might have a discussion on the devoting as to who you might have for the next gospel meeting. But when it comes to doctrine, there's no voting on doctrine. Older brother.